Amen. Praise the Lord for the ministry of music tonight, for sure. And every special has just been right on cue, and that choir special. I mean, if you didn't get blessed by that, there's something broken with your blesser. Amen. They're just, my goodness, I was ready to come unglued up here at that. That's just a powerful message. And so my heart's already been stirred and blessed by just the music program. And so praise the Lord for it. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you'd look to the book of Esther, and chapter 3. The book of Esther, chapter 3. We're going to have a conclusion on our series on praise tonight. Now, we've studied several things. We, first of all, had to realize, where in the world did it come from? And it's not a germ. It's not a virus. It comes from the old nature of man. It began when man sinned and incurred the sinful nature. And so the stress is within us, and there's a lot of things that brings it out. And it can be very devastating. Stress can cause any kind of physical ailment that you can think of. And that's why a lot of times the doctors, if they can't find anything else, they'll just tell you it's stress-related. Amen. And you understand that, and then they'll try to cover it up by just drugging you or something like that. But the idea there is that stress does come from within us. It comes from within us. And we studied some of the roots of stress and all the different things there. Then we looked at the God-designed stress. God works in our lives, and things that we can't control, God does control, and things that He allows into our lives. If He allows it into our life, then He has a design for that. And it might be stressful getting through some of those trials, but God has a purpose and a plan for that trial and the stress that is goes along with that. We just need to get through that and come out of that stronger than what it was when we went into it. So there's God-designed stress, and then there's self-inflicted stress. That's the things that we bring on ourselves by the different decisions we make, and basically sin. As we go opposite God's will and we start doing things we shouldn't do, and that brings on that self-inflicted stress. The one other thing, and this is what we're going to deal with tonight in closing it out, and it somewhat is related to all the above, and that is spiritual warfare brings on stress. Spiritual warfare. And ever since the fall of man, there has been spiritual battles, and there has been a spiritual warfare in the Old Testament and in the New Testament time. Now, things are a little different in the New Testament, and Jesus Christ, He suffered, bled, and died, and raised from the grave victorious. Amen. And He holds in His hand the keys to hell. And it's just a blessing to understand just how things have changed through Jesus Christ. This New Testament church age, spiritual warfare is a little bit different than what it was in the Old Testament. But Satan has always been around, and he has always worked against the will of God. And but there's much in the Bible that talks about the spiritual warfare that we face in this New Testament church age. But the story of Esther reveals so much to us concerning dealing with spiritual warfare on the basis of a stressful situation. And most, if you've been in church for very long, if you've been reading your Bible in Sunday school, you understand and you know a little bit about the book of Esther. But if you'll stand with me, we're going to be reading chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, and then verse 13. Now, this Esther was after the captivity of Israel. God worked, and He had the Jews to be set free. And anyone that wanted to go back to Jerusalem, to the homeland, could go back to the homeland. And God worked that out after captivity. And He told them that they would be in captivity for a period of time, and then He would release them. And as they were freed to go back into the homeland, many of the Jews decided to stay where they was at. They had already settled down, and they made a home of where they had been, made the best of the circumstances and situation. And so many of the Jews remained in what would be known at that time as Persia. And they would be there under the rule of King Ahasuerus. And so those that stayed, they would be under the rules and the guidelines and the laws of the land that they were living in now. The king had taken Esther, who had been raised by her uncle Mordecai. Now, Esther was a Jew, but they did not know that. It was never presented to the king or to any of the king's leadership that she came from the Jews. But she was raised by Mordecai in the land of Persia, okay, during this captivity era. And he had taken Esther, who had been raised by Mordecai, to be his queen. So now God has placed Esther in a position to be used of the Lord as queen of Persia. Okay? And after, let's read here, because this comes into place because at this particular time, there's another man that is mentioned in the key figure in the story is Haman. Haman, a man that had been made the king second in charge. He had a pride issue. And we find here that because of Mordecai would not bow to him, then he set out to destroy not only Mordecai, but his entire race. He decided he wanted to destroy all the Jews from the land. And so this is Esther. And right here in chapter 3, it gets into that part that I want to read to you. Chapter 3, verse 1. After these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Then the king's servants, which were in the king's gate, said unto Mordecai, why transgresseth thou the king's commandment? Now it came to pass, when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. And he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. In the first month, that is, the month Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast pur, that is, the lot, before Haman from day to day and from month to month to the 12th month, that is, the month Adar. And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom. And their laws are diverse from all people, neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore, it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasuries. The king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, and the Agagite, the Jew's enemy. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also, to do with them as it seemeth good to thee. Then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month, and there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants and to the governors that were over every province and to the rulers of every people of every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language in the name of King Ahasuerus was it written and sealed with the king's ring. Verse 13. And the letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you today, what a blessing we've already enjoyed in just being in the house of the Lord. Thank you for meeting with us. But now, Father, as we look into this passage of Scripture and we study this, and Lord, as we study this, learning biblical principles that help us understand the stress that we'll face throughout this life and how we can overcome that and be victorious in it. And I just pray, God, that you'd give each one here that ear to hear exactly what you have for them tonight. Empower the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Wow. We read this and we think, No way. No, that's history. That's just not Bible, amen. That is history. And we think of what Hitler did to the Jews, what Stalin did to the Jews, as being horrific, and it was, there's no doubt. But if this would have passed, can you imagine? The hatred involved in destroying the children of God. We find here in Esther chapter 3, in verses 1 down to verse 13, spiritual warfare. There's no doubt that Satan desires to devour the children of God. He has always desired that. We see that before the flood, how that as God created man, as we mentioned this morning, to be a blessing and to be blessed by God, but only if they made the right choices. And they chose not to follow God and to love Him and to keep the covenants and live as worshiping God. And so God had to destroy mankind. And then through Noah, we find that it started all over again. And then we find that Noah was one that led his family to worship God. And God was able to bless them, and they were the blessings that God wanted them to be. And then from there, we find that He raised up the nation of Israel. He raised up the nation of Israel to represent God to the world. And He wanted them to show forth the praise of God. And then we find it comes into the New Testament, and somewhat after that very same concept, we have Christianity. Not exactly the same, but it is after the same concept. God has always had a people to represent Him to the rest of the world. And Christianity is what Jesus Christ established in His church to represent God to the world. And Satan has always been against that which represents God. And so we have this spiritual battle. We have the spiritual battle. The Bible reveals to us, and you don't have to turn there. You know the verses well, I'm sure, but let me just read to you. There in 1 Peter chapter 5. In 1 Peter chapter 5, we find this very clearly revealed. In verse 6 it said, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." Understand that God cares for you. You need to cast your care upon Him. And realize this, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, that's the enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Has always been, always will be, until the millennial reign of Christ when He is imprisoned for 1,000 years. Then He will be loose for one more season before God destroys this earth. But spiritual warfare is something that has been a part of our lives ever since childbirth, possibly even before that, when you was in the womb of your mother. If possible, Satan would have destroyed you in that womb. And once you were born, can I tell you that Satan has been looking to devour you ever since. He's been looking to influence you to turn against God. He's been able to influence you to do the things that God would have to judge. Amen. And so that's that spiritual warfare. Satan desires to devour the children of God. There's first of all the physical or the visible battle that we can see. We look in this story in the book of Esther, we find the visible battle would have been Haman versus Mordecai. Or if you will, the Persians versus the Jews. We find here that in this physical, visible battle, Haman was a worldly-minded man motivated by greed and had a hatred for the Jews simply because they wouldn't bow to him. Yeah, that's what the Bible reveals to us there. That was Haman. That was, the world would say, well, that's just one man. No, that is a symbol of the spiritual battle, but it's what we can see. And then there is Mordecai, a godly man who was standing to be a witness for God. He didn't wish Haman any harm, but he would not bow to him because he was a faithful follower, a devout Jew who understood that we bow to one God and God only. He wouldn't bow to a man. And so we find here that that was a physical, visible battle. And today, you might think that you might be in a battle today. You might be in something going on visibly that is causing you stress. It might be a battle at somebody at work. It might be a battle in your home. It might be a battle in your neighborhood, whatever it might be. Things that bring on stress, you might be able to look at it and say, this is what I see. This is a visible, physical battle. And this battle that I'm engaged in right now is stressful in my life. Well, along with that, there's a spiritual battle. The spiritual battle that is fought before the physical battle is invisible. And so if you're not aware of spiritual warfare, then you never see it. All you think there is a physical battle. But it goes much deeper than that. Because there is a spiritual battle going on. And it's invisible. It is basically God in heaven, God in the angels of God, the messengers of God, versus Satan and hell, or the demons that are very real in our lives, in this world. We cannot view them, we cannot see them, they're invisible, but there are demonic spirits in this world. And they can have an impact on how they affect people's lives. Satan cannot force anyone to do anything, but he can influence you. He can make suggestions in your mind and in your spirit. And he wants to be invisible. He wants to be seen as an angel of light. And if you're not careful, you'll believe the lies of the devil and you'll believe the influence, a spiritual influence, to think it's your thoughts, to think it's what I want. And yet it's really not what God wants for you, and if you were thinking and seeing clearly, it's not what you would want if you could see the spiritual warfare involved. But Satan, being blinded, wanting to blind you, being invisible, wants to stay in the dark. I've often told people, Satan is the most powerful creature we'll ever come up against in the dark. But in the light, he's a defeated creature. The Bible calls him the serpent. And if you've ever looked at a snake, and I don't know, there are probably most of us here would not want to go in battle with a rattlesnake. And if you did, the one thing that you would fear most is not the tail, the rattler. You thank God for that rattler. It warns you, amen, that there's a venomous snake right here. But the rattler can't hurt you. The body of the snake can't hurt you. What's going to hurt you is the venom, and the venom can only be injected through the fangs or the head. And God tells us, in the light, Satan's head has been crushed. Amen. You don't have to fear the devil if you're living in the light, because he cannot inject his venom in you, because his head has been crushed. And greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. That we have to stay in the light. So the spiritual battle is this invisible battle, more than just good versus evil. The world would love to just say, well, it's people being good and people being evil. It's just within that person to be an evil person. No, it's not in that person alone. It is the sinful nature, and it's the influence of Satan in that individual. And it's the influence of God in the righteous. For there's none righteous, no, not one. None of us could forgive the unforgivable and love the unlovable and live the Christian life as God would have us to live the Christian life outside the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God and the power of God working in us. Verses in Ephesians in chapter 6, again, it makes this very clear. And I'm not telling you anything I don't think that you knew, but I want to bring it together to help you see it in the light of this stress. Ephesians in chapter 6 and verse 10, it says this: Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. No matter what your battle, stop battling them in your own strength. You can't. You'll be defeated, because there's more than just a physical battle taking place. There's a spiritual battle taking place, and you are no match for spiritual battles against the devil on your own. So he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. If you've never learned about the armor of God, you need to learn about the armor of God. You need to know what you need to put on and how you put that on in a spiritual sense. But you put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the trickery, the deceitfulness, the ways, the wickedness of the devil, that you might be able to stand against that and not be taken in by it. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, that's physical, but against principalities, this is invisible. Against principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we battle against. That's the battle that we are fighting. No, if you are finding yourself stressed out over whatever it might be, listen to me. There is a spiritual battle taking place, and you must deal with it, first of all, on a spiritual level. But you're not going to see it. You have to let the Word of God reveal it to you. The spiritual battle. Satan was working through Haman. Haman possibly didn't even know it. This pride issue, this issue that I'm somebody now because I'm somebody, other people need to bow down to me. Satan was working through Haman. In some cases, I believe that Satan can actually possess individuals. We look back over history. I don't think that most people would deny the fact that Adolf Hitler was demon-possessed. I don't think that most people would deny that Stalin was demon-possessed. His hatred for the Jews went beyond normal hatred. Some of the things that they would do to humanity went beyond what just a man would be able to do. But it can't get too dark for Satan. Satan can take us to the darkest of the darkest places. In some cases, people have so yielded to this evil and yielded to this demonic presence that they are actually demon-possessed. Now, can a person be demon-possessed without realizing it? I believe the very same way, because God has given you a free will. That in order to have the indwelling of the Spirit of God, you have to willfully ask for Him to come into your heart. And I believe the very same thing. If a person is demon-possessed, at some point that person has turned to evil and has given his heart and his life into this evil, which is asking Satan to come into his being. I had one man that I knew was demon-possessed and I was witness to, and he told me, he looked me in the face, and look into his eyes, and he said, my God is more powerful than your God. My God is Satan himself. I could sense that this man, no doubt in my mind, was demon-possessed. Because he felt like serving Satan would get him everything that he would ever want out of life. Yeah. So there's no doubt, and you find in the New Testament as it going through and those that were demon-possessed and how the demons would control them and that type of thing. The Bible reveals that the Antichrist will be Satan incarnated in a human body. Somebody will be yielded to the spirit of Antichrist. So Satan was working through Haman. Were Haman, was he demon-possessed or not? I don't know, but I do know that he was being used by the devil. And his hatred went beyond most hatred. His hatred was beyond Mordecai. Let's wipe out the entire Jewish race. That thought came from the devil himself. God had positioned Mordecai and Esther in the position that he wanted them to be in. But it didn't look good for the Jews. Can you imagine this decree being set in verse 13, if you were a Jew in the land, and they got this letter, it was posted, and the letter was sent by post into the king's provinces and throughout all the land where the Jews had scattered themselves and chose to stay in this land to destroy, to kill, an open season on Jews. Wow. To cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day. We're going to have this done in one day. Even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. You can go in, you can kill them, and you can take first come, first serve. You can take whatever they possess. Can you imagine the evil in that? If you were a Jew in the land, would it be a stressful time for you? If you think that it's stressful, the time that you're in and some of the things that you're dealing with right now, just think back and understand there's been a lot more stressful situations in the world than what you're experiencing, no matter what, how stressful they might be. And God has given us example of one in the Old Testament, of Esther. I don't think we can match that kind of stress. As a parent, knowing just because I'm a Jew, that the neighbors are planning on who's going to get to our house first to kill us, to take our possessions. Yeah. And that's history. Like I said, this is exactly the way it was. Well, what did Mordecai and Esther do in their distress? What did they do with this law in place, facing this kind of hatred and opposition? Chapter 4 and verse 13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape the king's house more than all the Jews." No one knew that she was a Jew, and she was a queen over the land. It would come into play, especially when it came to Haman, who didn't understand that, didn't know that. But nobody knew that. Now she would have to do something in presenting herself as a Jew to the king. It says, "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this." I love that phrase. There's many times that God has positioned us for such a time as this. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. This is what they did. "Go, gather together all the Jews that are present at Shushan, and fast. Fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." What a powerful passage of Scripture. Can I tell you that God has a way for His children to escape being overcome by stress? Something that Paul gave to the church at Corinth that God has for us is found in 1 Corinthians in chapter 10 and verse 13. It says this: "There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it." No matter what it is, no matter what you're facing, you just understand that there's more than what I can see taking place here. This is just not a visible, physical battle. There is an invisible, spiritual battle taking place in my life when you are attacked by stressful things. And you can claim this, that if you're a child of God's, He is not going to put more on you than what you're able to bear. But He will give you a way of escape. God is a way for His children to escape being overcome by stress. What did Esther, Mordecai, and the Jews do? They prayed. And they fasted. And they got others involved in the battle. We go through a month of prayer and fasting awareness in the month of April, and we see some amazing things take place. Every year we see some things take place, which is just a hallelujah. But I wonder, why do we just limit it to April? If you're facing something that is bringing a lot of stress in your life, then what you need to do is, first of all, pray. And if God does not answer your prayer by getting rid or giving you what you need in just prayer, then you need to add to prayer that extension of prayer that God gives us, and you need to fast. And not only do you need to fast, but you need to get others involved in praying and fasting. And if you get others involved in doing what God would have you to do, and you deal with your battles on a spiritual level, then the Bible says that God will give you deliverance. Yeah. Psalms in chapter 120. Let me just read to you what the psalmist writes here. Psalms in chapter 120, in verse 1, he says this. In my distress... Can you get any more stressed out than what the Jews would have been? In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee for false tongues? Sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of juniper. Woe is me that I sojourn in Mecca, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. But he says, in my distress, no matter what is going on, he was going through a lot, the psalmist was, but he says, in my distress, I found the help that I needed, and I cried out to God. Prayer, fasting, and getting others involved, like a church family. Like asking the church family to pray and to fast for victory. The end results, and closing right here, the end results, I love it. In God's timing, there's a lot that went on here. I want you to read the book. It's a great book. But in Esther chapter 7 and verse 10, in God's timing, and only in a way that God could have done it, so they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then were the king's wrath pacified. Now, if you'd read this, I mean, God has to have a sense of humor. Because Haman thought he was puffed up and going to be given something from the king, and the king says, yeah, that man is not you, it's Mordecai. I would love to have seen his face when the king said, no, go out and allow Mordecai to be seen by all the people and elevate him. And it came to pass after that he went thinking that he had been invited to a dinner and thought that he was a special guest of the queen's. And then he understands that the queen's a Jew. Yeah. And the Bible says that Haman hanged on the gallows prepared that he prepared to hang Mordecai. Chapter 8, verse 1. On that day did the king Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jew's enemy, unto Esther the queen. Esther now is loved and appreciated as being a Jew by the king. Only God. Only God. And verse 2. And the king took off his ring which he had taken from Haman and gave it unto Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. Mordecai is given the position of Haman, and all the Jews are blessed. Verse 16 and 17. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. What seemed to be a very bleak outlook on life and a very stressful situation. When God answered prayer and fasting, He turned it all around. And the Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. And in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day, and many of the people of the land became Jews. For the fear of the Jews fell upon them. I'm telling you tonight, you will never find yourself dealing with as much stress as they would have during that time. And what God has revealed to us that they did still works today. Amen. Still works today. Because, as we just heard, God is faithful. He is faithful. Amen. To us. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. I trust that you've learned some things concerning stress through this series, but possibly the most important of all is that we don't have to be overcome by stress. If you look at it in light of God, you deal with it as God would have you deal with it, we can overcome it and be strengthened in the midst. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. And Lord, I pray tonight that as we have presented this message out of the book of Esther and just put it all together to help in dealing with the idea of stress in our lives today, I pray that you would use it and you would strengthen each and every one that is going through some trials and some very stressful times to be able to do exactly what you would have them to do to find the help that's available. Now, I pray that you'd bless in this invitation now. In Jesus' name we pray.